Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Good evening and welcome to Sports Day on this Monday night. What a big weekend of sport. What a big day of sport, of course, with the Sydney Test wrapping up, ending in a dramatic draw with India holding on. A great performance by the Indians today to hold off the Australian bowling attack to salvage a draw and set up what is going to be a pretty phenomenal final Test match in this series when it heads to the Gabba. So much to talk about that through this evening. We'll talk to Bharat Sandaration from CricBuzz tonight, who I think will be up and about after the Indian performance today. We'll be previewing a couple of more teams in the AFL with Glenn Jakovich tonight as well, and a big focus on the Big Bash tomorrow. Ben McDermott from the Hurricanes will join us, Joe Richardson from the Perth Scorchers, and of course Jesse Wagstaff, the new Perth Wildcats captain. That is all coming up on Sports Day tonight. Adam Papalia with you alongside Glenn Jakovich. Jacko, good evening to you. It was a remarkable day's Test cricket.
G'day Adam, and to all our listeners, it was fantastic.
We'll turn your mic on there, Jacko. There
Sorry,
we go.
No, my
false start to get underway.
thank you, Adam. Thanks for the introduction. And to all our listeners, been a dramatic weekend of sport, but the Indians, full credit to them. We're heading to the Gabba on a knife's edge now. It's a great arm wrestle. It's a great Test series for all the right reasons. Unfortunately, the Australian players will dominate the headlines through the sledging debate that's going on. Tim Payne wasn't happy with his performances out in the middle of the pitch. You could hear on the stump cam, and I just don't think it's a good look for Australia, given what's happened. The sandpaper gate still fresh in people's minds. I think Australia need to get the respect of the cricketing world back. I think they've ticked a few boxes along the way, but I reckon they went backwards the last 2 days.
Well, that's one of our hot topics tonight. Thanks to Repco for expert car air conditioning service you can rely on. Visit repcoservice.com. What did you think about Tim Payne today and the way he was just chatting away to Ashwin? It was a swear word used in there as well. He was fined for dissent against the umpire for swearing too. So maybe just the pressure right on for the Australian captain. And after that, he went and dropped a catch, which, unfortunately, if you're going to talk the talk, you're going to be able to walk the walk.
Well, the question will be straight away, where was his focus? On his cricket or trying to get into the Indian batsman's mind? So he's the Australian captain. He leads by example. With cricket and all sports, it is followed in all type of media platforms. They pick up everything. And he's the Australian captain. It's the second biggest seat in Australia, isn't it, behind the Prime Minister? That's what they say it is. It's a big seat to hold. And he has to, stand up and show the example for young children coming through. I was at the cricket the other night here at the BBL, the Scorchers, and kids everywhere love their cricket. They love, going to the stadium and watching the action unfold out in the middle of the oval. And I just felt, I like Tim Payne as a cricketer. I think he steadied the ship after the South African debacle that happened a couple of years ago. I think he's been the right man to lead Australia out of that situation. And they've done a lot right under Justin Langer. But I think Justin Langer dropped the guard here a little bit as the senior coach of the Australian cricket team. I'd be giving him a bit of a talking to behind closed doors, saying, hey, You've been fined for dissent already, and then 2 days later you come out and do this. Just not a good look.
9221 882. If people have got thoughts on that, $50 Bottle-O voucher up for grabs. Got to love your local at the Bottle-O. I guess it's where do you draw the line? There's having a joke and a bit of friendly banter, and then there's the sustained, chirping that does happen from lots of players, and not just in cricket, in sport as well. And then a separate incident to that is what had happened the day before, which I think probably highlights this more. It's not in the same category, clearly. We're not even 100% sure exactly what was said by the people in the crowd. There's been mixed reports about what has come through and whether it was a racist abuse or whether it was a type of sledging as well that was berating Siraj. But it's in focus, isn't it, this type of chatter?
Well, Adam, it's an international sport, so the international media will pick up on it and say, well, look what's happening off-field, and then look what's happening on-field, and it's led by the captain, who's they'll basically be saying it's a cultural problem in Australian society that this exists both on and off the sporting arena. So I just felt that Tim Payne lowered his guard at a time when, he got the fine the other day and reprimanded, should I say, for dissent on the cricket field. But to come out later, a day or so later, tells the cricketing world, I've learnt nothing from my mistake.
9221882 is the phone number. As I said, $50 bottle-o voucher is up for grabs. But it was a tremendous performance by India today. We'll talk to Bharat Sundaresan about that shortly and recap that really fighting effort from Pujara, but particularly from Vihari and Ashwin to survive through to the end of the day, with India finishing at 5 for 334. You thought at one stage that perhaps there were going to be a chance of actually chasing the runs down, because Pant was absolutely thrashing them around like a T20 game rather than a test match. But once he was out, and particularly once Pujara was out, they shut up shop and just wanted to get through to the end of the day. Of course, India only need a draw in the final match of the series to retain the trophy, whereas Australia now need a victory.
Full credit to India, because today they could have just sat back and just, you know, ticked the overs over and be done with their draw. But they try to win it at a certain stage, and when they lost the fifth wicket, then they shut up shop and played obviously a lot more defensive. But they're on the attack, and that's what you like. They took the game to the fans, and obviously to their own fans. That was spectacular to watch. So it was, for a draw, it was entertaining.
9221882. Adam Papalia, Glenn Jakovich with you tonight. Caller of the night, that $50 Bottle-O voucher. Great range, friendly service, and they're independently owned by locals. Got to love your local at the Bottle-O. Joe in Inglewood joins us on the line. G'day, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you going? Hey, look, I just want to have a chat. Jackie, I'm sure you play cricket probably like me at a good, fair level. But what... I mean, you're out in that field sometimes for 8 hours. You're going to do a lot of talking. And I think it's only reasonable that every now and again you're going to talk about the batsman and how he's performing. Much the same as if I was lining up for a goal at Aussie Rules, I'd be copping a lot as I'm lining up for that goal about my ability and if I could make the distance and everything. I just think if we cut out all of that, I really don't know how boring that game's going to get.
Yeah, Joe, you raise a valid point, and thanks for calling in, but it's a fine line. Look, I think there needs to be a level of banter out there and a bit of trash talk. Like you said, you gave two examples. When the batsman's batting or when someone's lining up for a goal, you walk past and you make a certain comment. He may have missed the last three in a row, or he may just be lacking a little bit of confidence with his goal kicking. But you've got to choose your times carefully, and swearing live on national TV with so many media platforms picking up player behaviours both on and off the football field, the way they go, and cricket field, should I say, on this example, you've got to be smarter about it, and it's just not a good look. And the Australian captain, I said, is the second most prestigious seat in the country. And, you know, the Australian cricket team has done a lot of good work over the last 18 months in trying to rebuild that image of what happened in South Africa. I just felt they let themselves down. And it showed, Joe, because Tim Payne dropped a catch just straight afterwards. That showed to us that he wasn't focused on his job, what he had to do.
9221882 is the phone number. Thanks for your call, Joe. We'll talk a little bit more cricket when we return, but we welcome your input on the program. Our hot topic for Repco, you'll be blown away with car air conditioning service at Repco authorised service. Book at repcoservice.com is the third test at the SCG. Anything that you made out of the Sydney test, we'll come back. We'll talk to Bharat Sundaresan from CricBuzz and get the Indian perspective, how they're feeling at the moment. They're almost the walking wounded given how many injuries they've got, but they continue to fight, and it was a dramatic day's test cricket. And how good was it to see test cricket go into a fifth day in Australia here, right down to the wire? It doesn't happen too often here in this country. This is Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Well, thanks for your company on Sports Day this evening. Adam Papalia, Glenn Jakovich with you. We welcome your calls. Put yourself in the running for that $50 Bottle-O voucher. If you want to talk about today's cricket on 9221882. And I'm pretty sure our first guest tonight will definitely want to talk about today's cricket as part of our cricket update. Thanks to Maccas. The McRib and El Macco are back at Maccas this summer. He's been a great friend of the program over the last few weeks or through this test series, in Bharat Sundaresan, who joins us on the line again. Bharat, thanks so much for your time.
No worries at all, guys. And what an exceptional days of cricket that was. That was, it was, if you really like cricket, that's the kind of day that you really get emotional about and get really excited about.
Well, it would have been nice if the Aussies had been able to take one or two more, just to make it a little bit tighter for that. But when we spoke to you after India turned things around in Melbourne, you said that that was one of the greatest turnarounds in Indian cricket. Where do you rate today's performance, the fact that they were able to survive 786 deliveries in the second innings to hang on to force a draw?
And I think it's right up there, and I even would like to stick my neck out and say this is the toughest Indian team I've ever seen. There have been better teams, there have been more successful teams. But what they showed today, just look at the guys who saved it in the end. One couldn't walk or run, which is Hanuma Vihari. R. Ashwin couldn't sit. He's suffered from a tweak in his back for 2 days now. He bowled with it yesterday. He went to sleep in agony last night. And this morning, he just could not sit. He was standing while Pujara and Rishabh Pant were batting, and then he walked out and batted. At the tea break, he was still on his feet, and then goes back and gets pounded by Pat Cummins and Josh Hazlewood. But they just survive all that to save the day. Rishabh Pant nearly had his elbow broken, but he comes back and makes 97. And Ravindra Jadeja, who had a broken thumb, is sitting there padded up. In all those circumstances, like I'm not even talking getting into the crowd abuse, which was so unfortunate and should always be avoided. But just purely on what all they had to overcome today is just extraordinary. Nobody gave them a chance when they at the start of this play, and especially after they lost Rahane early. But it is right up there, and I think Ajinkya Rahane summed it up perfectly after the day's play, after the match, that is saying it might not sink in today, or maybe not tomorrow, but how special this performance was will sink in the months and years to come.
Brad, it was a great day of cricket, as you mentioned today, but I felt that India set up today's performance on the back of the third session with Sharma and Gill. They were none for 70 before the first wicket had fallen, but I thought they took the sting out of the Australian bowlers, because I felt the Australians felt if they could be three or four wickets going into stumps last night, they were a real chance.
Have we still got you there, Brad?
Oh, yes, yeah. I just lost you in
green. No problem. We're basically saying that the openers yesterday really took the sting out of the Aussie bowlers that seemed yesterday and set up that fighting spirit, I guess, for India to go on for this performance.
Oh, absolutely they did. That is so true. Like, you can easily forget about their contribution purely because of the drama of how the match ended. But yeah, Rohit Sharma and Shubman Gill had never opened together. They never batted together before this test match, but they've already in two innings done what no opening combination has done outside India in the last 10 years. So they really did set the tone. You're so right. It could, if India had lost a couple of early wickets, you have Pujara and Rahane early with the new ball, with Australia had bowled quite a few overs last evening. And that's what they were, like you correctly said, would have looked for with that declaration at tea. But they set the tone. They made sure that the new ball was well gone by the time Pujara and Rahane walked out last evening. And just the way they batted, the freedom with which Rohit batted, in particular, the way he took on Hazlewood and Stark, pulling them, hooking them, almost was their way of telling Australia that we're not out of it. This we've seen so often in the past. India come to Australia and on declaration day, which was day four yesterday, the heads would drop, shoulders would slouch, but they just kept coming back, even with the ball and definitely with the bat. And they set the tone, and it just kept getting better and better today.
Talking to Bharat Sandaration from CricBuzz, who's covering the SCG test. Bharat, I read a strong article that you wrote about what happened at the SCG with the sledging that was going on in the crowd. There have been some mixed reports, and I don't think it's been confirmed yet, the investigation, exactly what was said, but nobody's condoning any sort of racial abuse at all. It was completely disgraceful if that is exactly what happened. What's been the reaction, though, that you've seen in the Indian media and how it's played out?
I mean, it's disappointing when something like this happens, because immediately the Indian media, especially the majority of the media back home, jump on the old trope of, oh, is Australia a racist country? And it's something that I have always spoken about, always not I wouldn't say defended Australia, but always explained it to people in India during my many visits here, and now the fact that I live here, about how there is nothing called a racist country. Racism exists everywhere. It's as rampant in India as it is anywhere else in the world. But the question is, because it happened on the cricket field, where you have a team which has traveled this far, sacrificed a lot to be in bubbles and quarantines, and then to be out there, like you said, the investigation is on. We still don't know whether it was a racial slur. The Indian team is very, very certain on all 3 days, whatever was said was racist in nature, and they're not taking it lightly. So it's just the old argument or the old chatter that restarts in India. I have tried quelling it as much as I can, and that's why I really felt strongly last evening that I should write a piece about what it feels like to be at the receiving end, not just like in terms of what Siraj would have felt, but just generally as a coloured person when you move to a first world country or a country which is dominated by white people.
Brett, obviously that's the off-field situation in the crowd, but on-field we've been a little bit critical, I know I have, extremely, of Tim Payne. With he was caught on stump cam today having a conversation with an Indian batsman. There were some swear words. Where do you see where the fine line is with on-field, I guess, sledging?
I have always been a big when I'm covering test matches, guys, I don't have the commentary on. I really don't care what's happening on the stump cam. My focus is to watch the cricket. But I know now with social media and broadcasters are very happy to keep the stump cams on. We hear a lot of which we don't really need to hear what happens in the middle. They're grown men, grown adults playing the sport. And yes, some things do get spoken. But till the time it's not personal in nature, where you're cussing at each other, or what some of the things that Tim Payne did say, tell Ashwin, were definitely out of line. But Ashwin did give it back to him. Or for me, what stood out, though, was at the end of the day, as the teams were walking off, two things happened. One, I thought was really, really good, was Ashwin offering the stump, the souvenir stump, to Steve Smith, and Steve Smith turning it down. And then as he was walking off, Tim Payne actually ran up to Ashwin, patted him on the back, and they seemed to smile and laugh about something and walk away. That's good to see, but that does not mean that we can condone abusive language or abusive words being used in the middle, because if you've seen, the series has been filled with camaraderie, and the two teams, a lot of players know each other so well. So maybe a little uncalled for, but I believe maybe the time has come where you really have to relook whether the stump cams always need to be turned up so high, because it's not always entertaining. If anything, in my personal opinion, it hinders the joy of watching cricket on TV.
Brad, it's been a great series. Some of those other headlines obviously distract us from what's going on the pitch. For India, though, a tremendous performance, as we've mentioned. But how are they going to go in shaping up for a team for the Gabba test, given how many injuries they now do have?
That is seriously going to be a big question. At least I thought the fact that Vihari and Ashwin batted out the overs, Jadeja wasn't exposed to Stark and Cummins and Hazelwood, because they would have definitely bounced him. And so they should have. But the reports are not good for Jadeja, so he's definitely ruled out. Rahane said Rishabh Pant was looking good, so he will play. But whether he plays as a batsman or not is the question. Because with Jadeja gone, the team balance completely changes. They'll have to go back to sticking with four bowlers. And now with Ashwin having tweaked his back as well, we'll have to wait and see how he turns up, because it's just 3 days. Tomorrow's travel day. And thank God everything's confirmed about that. I've been got a little sick and tired of talking and writing about will or will it not happen, the Brisbane test. So at least that's been cleared. So they are going to Brisbane tomorrow. A lot of question marks. Maybe they'll have to use one of the two reserve openers. Was the only reserve batsman that they have left. KL Rahul was the other guy, but he got injured and he's gone home. So it's been a long, old, funny tour for India, where they've suffered so many injuries. Their bowling lineup is already down to their sixth and seventh choice fast bowlers. And now if Jadeja and Ashwin are both gone, then, well, it just does put that playing 11 into serious. It won't look as strong as it did even here. But what India has shown is that resiliency to overcome anything that is put in their way and still keep fighting. So regardless of who plays, Australia is not going to have it easy at the Gabba.
Well said, Brad. Great to have a chat to you again. Thanks so much for your time and for chatting to us so often on the show here. Really, really appreciate it.
Cheers, guys. It's always great chatting with you. And yeah, I'm glad the cricket finally took over. The headlines tomorrow will be cricket.
That is a very good thing. Brett, thanks so much. Brett Sandoration there from Crick Buzz. And if you do get a chance to log on and check out the strong article he wrote in response to the allegations, I guess, of racial abuse coming from the crowd, but just his take on it, it is very much well worth a read. Cricket update there. Thanks to Maccas, the Saucy McRib and Legendary El Macco are back at Maccas this summer for a limited time only. If you've got thoughts on the cricket, 9221 882. Put yourself in the running for the $50 Bottle-O voucher. But right now on Sports Day, we need to get a bushfire update with Chelsea Stone. Thanks, Chelsea.
A bushfire watch and act is in place for people in the vicinity of Carnup Road, Young Road and the Kwinana Freeway southbound in the eastern parts of Baldivis in the city of Rockingham. There is a possible threat to lives and homes as a fire is burning in the area and the conditions are changing. If you are not prepared or you plan to leave, leave now if the way is clear. If you are well prepared and plan to actively defend your home, make final preparations now. The fire started near the intersection of Carnup Road and the Kwinana Freeway in Baldivis. It is not contained or controlled. Burning embers are likely to be blown around your home. Kwinana Freeway southbound between Safety Bay Road and Carnup Road is closed, as well as Young Road between Serpentine Road and Carnup Road. The cause of the fire is accidental. More information can be found on the Emergency WA website.
Thanks, Chelsea. Much appreciated. Bushfire update there with Chelsea Stone. When we return here on Sports Day, it'll be back to your calls, 9221 882. It'll be slaps and sledges time as well. So jump in the queue, 9221 882, and put yourself in that running for that $50 Bottle-O voucher. This is Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
This is Sports Day. Adam Papalia, Glenn Jakovich with you on this Monday night. Plenty coming up on the show as well. We'll have a big, big bash preview of tomorrow night's clash. We'll talk to the leading wicket taker in the tournament and the leading batsman in the tournament as well, Jai Richardson from the Perth Scorchers and Ben McDermott from the Hurricanes. New Wildcats captain and Jesse Wagstaff coming up as well. But we want your calls now. 9221 882 is the phone number. $50 Bottle-O voucher up for grabs. And join in on slaps and sledges. If you're going to give anyone a slap on the back or a sledge, because we've been talking sledging tonight, thanks to Sullivan Logistics. Three votes for storage and overnight freight. They never say no. Dave's in Ocean Reef who wants to talk some cricket. G'day, Dave.
Hi, Jacko. Hi, Paps. Just, look, I'm old school. I'm 57. And I just think we've been a little bit too politically correct. And, of course, and I've heard the comments all night, but, you know, as you know, Jacko, you know, what's said on the field should stay on the field. And there's been plenty of times, what I'm seeing today is, you know, something might be said on the field, and I'm not talking about the cricket at the moment, right, because I know that was from the crowd. But, you know, no offence, but let's all toughen up a little bit, because there's been too many political correct issues that, and I don't want to go into the details, but as we know, where people's careers are ruined because he said and this said, was that was said. You know, we all got to fall back a little bit, and Australia's always known for, look, some sledging is so funny, and I know, you know, we've got all these people, you know, Karen Ollie go, no sledging is good. I grew up with glasses, mate, I had glasses since I was five, and do you know the amount of times I was called four eyes? Do you know the amount of times I was bullied? But guess what? I sorted them all out eventually, but what I'm saying is that, you know, it's part of growing up. It toughens you up in life. It gives you... you know, it builds your confidence, builds your esteem and all that sort of stuff. I think we've just got to pull back. It's just getting too out of hand.
Yeah, Dave, thanks for your call. Look, I'll put you to task there, because I just feel that, do we need to go down that path anymore, waste the energy? And, I mean, you draw reference to yourself being bullied. There's no place for it anymore. Given the commercial... impact on world sports today and how much money's thrown into it, the player conduct code and behaviour has to fall in line with it. And this is the biggest thing. We have to separate from what sledging is and banter is to, you know, drawing the line where you're starting to offend people's identity, their shape, their sizes, their sexuality, their race, their religion, their culture, whatever it may be. And this is the fine line through education is really, really important. What you said before was yesteryear, and we all grew up with that. That was once upon a time. I don't agree with that anymore because it's counterproductive. You waste a lot of energy, especially on a football field. When you come up with some great players, you need to be putting a lot of that energy and resources into actually playing the craft and getting the ball or batting really well or bowling really well. And I think today was a perfect example with Tim Payne, the Australian captain. He decided to go down that path. It was on stump cam. Then he goes back to his position and he drops a catch. Where's the Australian public and supporters? We've got to put our Australian captain to task. What are you doing? Because it's measured by performance.
Alex is in Northlake. Good call, Dave. Alex is in Northlake. G'day, Alex.
G'day, Adam. Glenn, I want to talk about the soft salary cap that the AFL imposes on clubs. What sort of intrigues me is that just recently the Gold Coast Suns released some assistant coaches, and amongst them was Dean Solomon, who was supposedly very highly respected and highly credentialed and was reluctantly released by the Gold Coast Suns. Yet no sooner than he walked out the door, Reece Shaw is appointed as a coach at the Gold Coast Suns. And you sort of say, what's going on? Has the AFL brokered a deal, or are they sort of providing some backdoor help to North Melbourne?
Well, we were asking about transparency on the show. Was it last week or the week before when we were chatting
last week,
Jacko, about the review coming where through. Things were all going? It's a good call that you make, Alex. Very it's good. A different role, I think, to what Dean Solomon was doing. I don't think he was the head of development, but I'll double-check that, which is what Reece Shaw is going in to do. But the goalposts have definitely shifted for all the clubs when it comes to the restrictions that they've now got on them and the amount of spending that they've had to cut out of their football department. So that doesn't mean that, you know, if someone was on one wage, they move them on and then bring somebody else in on a lower wage. You know, that's all possible as well, Alex. But good call. 9221 882. Anything to add there, Jacko?
Oh, I think he hit the nail on the head. I agree with him because Dean Solomon was very well credentialed and went for a few senior jobs. He falls by the COVID situation and the reduction in the spending in football departments, and then Reece Shaw gets shifted up to the Gold Coast in a similar role and position. So that's an AFL-applied position, let's face it.
Peter's in Netherlands. Hi, Peter.
Just a quick comment about yesterday. It was rather interesting because I was watching it on Fox and listening to the commentators and how they were working it out when Green was at the crease and whether he'd get to the 100 or not. Then all of a sudden, he hits a beautiful six, and then all of a sudden, he comes down, has a chat to the captain, and the captain says, look, you might just get a chance of getting 100 here. And then all of a sudden, whack, whack, two more sixes, and then guess what happens? All of a sudden, there's a commotion in the crowd, and the whole game stops. The timing was absolutely unbelievably hard to understand, but I can understand now why, because it completely put the Australians off their game, and they didn't recover from then. And today, well, of course, we paid the penalty of what happened yesterday. Because, you know, let's face it, you know, we could have got another 40 or 50 runs if the momentum had stayed as it was with him hitting sixes.
Oh, Peter, I'm not agreeing with you on that one. I don't think there was only a couple of overs left until tea. That was why Cam Green was firing on all cylinders to get his century. As it happened, he got out before he got there anyway, so it was not of a consequence. I'm not thinking it's a deliberate ploy to stop the game or to slow the game there if something's happening. We'll find out with the investigation as to what's actually been said. But always, as always, appreciate your call, 9221 882. Rob's in Gilderton. Hi, Rob.
Oh, hi, Adam. Hi, Glenn. Glenn, I just want to thank you for your response to Dave in such an eloquent and gentlemanly manner. The notion that we have guests in this country, our Indian opponents, and that the Australian captain was heard, I think, if I'm correct, referring to Ashwin as a D-head. Look, it's not racial abuse, but it's abuse, Glenn, and thanks for putting him right. My other comment is about Siraj. Look, I'm sorry to hear that if there was any racial stuff happening to Siraj, but I just want to bring up our Aboriginal friends. If you're an Aboriginal footballer playing on any ground from the 60s to now, then you'd better have a pretty thick skin, because they really copped it. And there's my comments.
They did, Richard, and it was wrong, and it shouldn't have happened. And it's been better. It doesn't happen on the field these days. I'd be very surprised if it happens on the field these days. Rob, thank you. It certainly has still happened in the crowd that we've seen in recent times, but it's just not on.
It's not on, and the only way we're going to go forward, and we are going forward, let's face it, we've made a lot of ground, and it's through education. When I came through the junior system and then through the South Fremantle District, and I played 3 years with South, there was a lot of racial abuse on the football field. And I was playing with Maurice Rioli, I was playing with Willie Rioli, I was playing with the Collard brothers, and it was going back and forth to and from both sides, and there was Aboriginal players and players from ethnic backgrounds. But we had no education. Training had finished, or the game had finished, we come to training, and it was a taboo situation. No one spoke about it. You just got on with it. And that was living in pain, in silence, in silence of fear, that you just copped it and moved on with it. I get drafted to the AFL. There's some notable incidents that happened in the early 90s. And from that point forward, the racial religious vilification code came in, and we would have regular seminars and education sessions. And it opened my world up, my mind, thought process on how to behave on a football field. And I think we as a society are getting better at that, at junior sports, at junior level, and that's where you've got to start from, you know. So I think it's a work in progress, Adam. It's always going to be a situation where something unfolds. But if we see how many kids and how many games of sport are on the weekend, and there's two incidents across the country, or three or four or ten, it's still going to be very, very low compared to what it was 20 years ago.
Richard's in Bull Creek. Hi, Richard.
How you going, Adam and Jacko? Jacko, I know you love your NFL. Yes. Did you see the game in between the Browns and the Steelers today? What a game that was.
Unbelievable. The Browns' first quarter, four touchdowns. Remarkable. And the Browns, they've been a franchise that have not had a lot of success. But Ben Rosenberg, Rothenberg, should I say, he's the quarterback.
Roethlisberger.
Yeah, something like that. He's been to the Super Bowl a few times, so he had a pretty poor day today. So, what was your call? Just that game?
Well, no, I want to talk about something else. But what about the coach? Couldn't even coach him today because he had COVID positive as well. The Cleveland Browns coach.
Yeah, there's a few of them like that. There's a few coaching staff panels that are depleted at the minute over in
you
the US.
Wanted to talk some baseball as well, Richard.
Yeah, I did. Have you been watching the trading in the Major League Baseball this year? Some of the clubs have traded out some really high-profile players, and some clubs have really pounced hard this year. It's very unusual.
I will admit I don't follow it all that closely, Richard, so maybe we'll have a bit more of a chat about it and get you to come back on and talk us through it a little bit more. But and thanks for your call. They need to understand a little bit more how the American sports are so much more open to that, to trading the stars. We heard Sumer on front and centre on Saturday, stirring them up a bit, talking about how Nat Fyfe, he would have traded Nat Fyfe to try and get some draft picks in. But American sports are much more open to it. We'll talk about that a little bit more, and I'll get your thoughts on it as well, Jacko, when we come back. This is Sports Day. Slaps and Sledges if you want to get involved. 9221 882.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Hello and welcome back to Sports Day. Adam Papalia, Glenn Jakovich with you. 9221 882 is the phone number. Put yourself in the running for the $50 Bottle-O voucher. Slaps and Sledges, thanks to Sullivan Logistics, your trusted storage and overnight freight expert. Sullivan Logistics, in it for the long haul. We'll get back to those in just a second. But we have been doing our AFL early season preview with Glenn Jakovich on Sports Day last week, and this week rolling through all of the clubs. We're almost towards the top eight, but we've got one more team to do, and Jacko, and that is the Melbourne Footy Club.
Yes, thanks, Adam. Finished ninth last year, 9 wins and 8 losses. They're very average in scoring and defending. And I look at their style of play, and nothing really stands out for me that they try and move the ball through the corridor. I thought Christian Petracca obviously had a breakout year as an All-Australian. Max Gawn, again, an All-Australian. But after that, when I look at their their list that they've built. Their core group of blokes with Jack Viney, Christian Salem, Jake Lever, who they traded in, Clayton Oliver, who I think is a star, Jaden Hunt, Neville Jetta, if he can get back to his All-Australian form from a couple of years ago, throwing Ed Langdon, Angus Brayshaw and James Harms. That is a very talented list. Stephen May, who came in, obviously had an interrupted first year. Last year was in contention for All-Australian, and they're starting to get their currency worth for Stephen May. Ben Brown's the big one. They need to kick a score. But what combination, is their forward line powerful? Is it dangerous? Is it threatening? So you got Bailey Fritsch, that's a part of that. He's I don't mind him. He's kicked bags of four. So he's the combination. But for me, Sam Wiedemann's the player that needs to stand up for them. Highly talented junior that came through all the academy programs. You got Alex Neil Bullen, who a couple of years ago was kicking a few goals. Out of that quartet of blokes, key forwards, who's going to be the one that's going to stand up and kick goals?
Where do you play Tom McDonald? He's played forward when they've needed him to. He's played back as well. It looks like he's really trimmed up a bit and looking pretty fit. Maybe lost a little bit of weight to slim down a little bit heading into this season. But he's one that was so good a couple of seasons ago but hasn't been able to recapture.
Well, they've got to shore up either end of the ground and be recognised for something. They're average in both facets, in defending and scoring. They're not threatening on the scoreboard, so you can bank on they're not going to kick 90-plus points against you. And you can score against them quite easily. Defensively, they're not that strong. They're just middle, and that's where they finish, middle of the AFL competition. So watch out for Kasiah Pickett and Luke McDonald, West Australian boy. Always look out for the West Australian boy. But that quartet of forwards, which I mentioned, is really pivotal for them to get going. Max Gawn, how long can he still be the number one, number two ruckman in the competition? I like the combination with him and Luke McDonald. Luke Jackson, sorry, my apologies. He has a very strong competitive streak in him. He loves to compete. He's going to be a very, very good player. So their fixtures, they've got a good start, Melbourne. I think it's very gettable. Their first six, five of them in Melbourne, four at the MCG and one at Marvel, and they've got the trip first here. They've got Dockers away. They've got GWS Giants in Canberra. So they've got Freo, Saints, GWS Giants, Geelong, Hawks and Richmond. I reckon they can win four of those six at the start of the year. If they don't capitalise and cash in on that draw, they're going to miss the eight again.
All right, give me two numbers here on two different questions. First question is, with the amount of inside 50s that Melbourne generate, how many goals can Ben Brown kick this season?
I don't think it's a matter of how many goals.
Just a number.
He can kick 40-plus, definitely.
And how many wins will the D's have? Will they make the eight?
I've got him missing the eight again.
Missing the eight again? Just?
Yeah, just.
Just. All right. Thoughts there from Glenn Jakovich?
I'm not wrapped with Simon Goodwin's coaching style of play. It's just not convincing. It's not appealing. What do they represent? It's unidentifiable.
We're racing our way up to the news. That's why I'm cutting off. But we'll come back to that. Melbourne fans, if you've got thoughts, 9221 882. This is Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Thanks so much for your company on Sports Day this evening into our second hour, and plenty coming up on the show as well. Adam Papalia, Glenn Jakovich with you. Jai Richardson from the Perth Scorchers is going to join us, and we've already broadcast the disappointing news that Colin Munro is out of the Scorchers side for tomorrow. Clark comes back in, but he's certainly going to be missed given the form that he's been in. Ben McDermott, also a man in form, leading run scorer in the Big Bash from the Hurricanes, will join us. Have been enjoying a couple of days in Perth. Have the Hurricanes and Jesse Wagstaff, the new captain of the Perth Wildcats as well, also to join us in this hour here on Sports Day. Of course, before Todd Johnston is in the chair after 8 o'clock. 9221 882 is the phone number. Slaps and sledges will continue with, thanks to Sullivan Logistics, 3 votes for storage and overnight freight. They never say no if you've got a slap or a sledge about anything in the world of sport. We'll go to the phones. Nigel is in Hammond Park. G'day, Nigel.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, mate, far away.
Hello. Yeah, I think Tim Payne has a lot not to really answer for. He was carrying on like a pork chop and then dropped 3 pretty basic catches. I mean, if he had caught Pant when he was on 3, it would have been a different ball game. You don't see Ajinkya Rahane carry on like that. I mean, he just needs to do his job and, well, take his catches, really. And really, the other error he made was, I think they didn't bowl Cummins at the right time. They could have bowled Cummins in the middle spell where Pujara and Pant were taking the game away from us. and there wasn't enough. We didn't use the main strike bowler at the right time.
Thanks, Nigel, for your call. I think we've said it enough, but I think Tim Payne was having a bit of a sleepless night tonight, knowing that he let his country down, and he said he'd let his teammates and his country down, and he didn't perform as a captain the way he needed to today, and lost a bit of focus and dropped those catches, which were quite pivotal at a period of time there, with one of them especially today, that could have given Australia a bit more momentum. So, yeah, I think that's a sledge from all of us here. As fellow Australians, we want to see our captain do well.
Thanks for your call, Nigel. 9221 882. The phone number slaps and sledges thanks to Sullivan Logistics, your trusted storage and overnight freight experts. Sullivan Logistics, in it for the long haul. A little sledge from me was to Steve Smith after everything we were talking about in terms of just the way the Aussies are going about it. We want them to be setting a good example. He's just being a bit cheeky today with just rubbing out the marks on the crease where Punt was knowing where centre was when he was trying to line up the bat. It was caught again on the stump camera this time, and it just doesn't need to do that.
But he was being sheepish when he was doing it. No different to when going back to South Africa.
Well, that's going on. We don't want to get to that point.
Well, have they learned?
Yes.
Do they not know that there's stump cam and there's video cams and all sorts of things out there that are going to pick that up? Now, if that's a culture in cricket, which it probably is, where you know, but it's just not a good look for the Australian. The Australian team need to be on their best behaviour for the, you know, and they've been doing a pretty good job. Well led by an inspirational leader and a great player, former player in Justin Langer, but
they've done such a good job. We just don't want them to fall back into old habits or open yourself up to criticism.
We're not talking about a guy that's playing his third test match for the country.
No.
He's got form, and he's one of the best batsmen in the world. But, yeah, that didn't look good for Steve Smith today.
Kelly is in Thornley. Hi, Kelly.
G'day, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Kelly. Thank you.
Mate, just curious on the ABL with the Brisbane hub going on over there. Are they coming back to Perth, do you know? And for how long, you see?
To play back here, the Heat? Wait, they have come back to Perth, I believe.
Yeah, I know they've just finished over in Brisbane a five-game weekend, I think it was, or four-game weekend. Just wondering when they're coming back and when they'll be playing back at home, if they're going to continue on the hub with all the closures going on around Australia.
The fixturing side of things, I'm not 100% sure on, but we'll check in with the Heat. Kelly, just for you and for all our Heat fans a little bit later on the weekend and find out that a lot of the sports at the moment have been in such a state of flux as to where they're going, depending on where the border restrictions finish. I mean, the restrictions in Brisbane are lifting for a lot of places. I know the Northern Territory's pulled back, not that it affects too many sporting teams, but as an example, the Northern Territory have pulled back their border with Queensland, so that's coming down again. But here in WA, it's staying up. So it's being an administrator in sport is very, very tough at the moment to try and get a season
off. Well, Kelly, as he mentioned, they were on the back of five games up in Brisbane. So, and I think that's going to be the norm going into the year of 2021 in all sports. If there's a period where you can go interstate and you can play two or three games and knock it over, unfortunately that's going to be the landscape this season in all sports.
They may have gone to Adelaide, actually, the Heat, rather than coming back here to continue to play. So we will check in on that a little bit more and bring that up with you over the next couple of nights and check in with the Heat because we had chatted to them before the season. There was they were unlucky with a walk-off loss the other night. So when we were going to chat to them, they thought, well, we'll just give them a little bit of breathing room after such a disappointing loss. But we will check in with them again. Jerry is in Westminster. Hi, Jerry.
How you doing? I'm just disappointed with the Australian Test team and more so, too, with the leadership, JL in particular. We've supposedly got one of the best bowling units going around the world at the moment, fast bowlers that is, and you include Lynn Lyon in that as well as a spin bowler. They don't seem to be bothered too much about bowling at the stumps. Here we've got players that are crippled. They can't run, they can't run because they're injured, and they persisted with this short rubbish all the time, and Stark's one of the worst of the whole lot of them, but just bowled the stumps. Hazelwood didn't do too bad, but I mean, it just never ceases to amaze me, these lower order batsmen. I mean, make them play, because when their body's hurting, make them stretch and have to play shots instead of trying to knock their bleeding heads off.
Yeah, valid point, Jerry, and I felt the Australians had the upper hand for most of this test series, but they lost their way a little bit today, and on the back of last night, I thought Sharma and Gill really dug in early and just got them off to a start, and they didn't capitalise Australia, and then, as Jerry mentioned, leadership both on and off the field, and we already, you know, run it to death with Tim Payne, but... obviously their mind weren't on the job, and he dropped those catches when he was trying to sledge and put the opposition, you know, the Indian batsman off guard. Go to the task at hand, and bowling at the stumps, well, you make them play. That's basic, you know, rule 101 when it comes to basic cricketing.
Well, one man that makes everybody play, always bowling at the stumps, is Todd Johnston, who'll be taking us through on the night shift after 8 o'clock, who joins us in the studio. G'day, Todd.
Hello,
Todd.
Hey, fellas, very, very good to you know, see you guys. You look fantastic as per normal. My question to you fellas, especially you, Jacko, because you told me you're the expert when it comes to cricket, the Kiwis are still number one. With the test being a draw, are they still number one?
I think they are. I think we needed a win to leapfrog back over the top of them, unfortunately. But we can still get there in the next test.
Mate, I've been copping so much flack from my Kiwi mates. Because I've been, you know, you wind them up on the weekend. The Anzac spirit is alive and well. But the rivalry between the Kiwis and the Aussies is fantastic. And I copped some shellacking on the weekend. And I thought the Aussies were going to do it. Ah, fair dinkum.
So did we all, but it does set up a really good test match up in Brisbane, and then hopefully we can snatch that number one test ranking back, because you can't have the Kiwis having that for too long.
Oh, I've got too many Kiwi makes, mate. Just to walk down the street in one piece, you know, getting down, they start rugby tackling you when they think they're in charge. It's not good. Love listening to you guys tonight. Thanks so much for keeping us up to date with regards to sport after 8 o'clock. Gee whiz, so much is happening in the world of the US. Thank God we live where we do. Let's be peaceful. Let's be tranquil. But you see what's going on in the US. I don't want to run up the flagpole too high, but I just want to find out a bit more information about what's happening over there. So we'll do that. I also want to acknowledge the fact that on the weekend, I went to a local lawn bowls club. And I bumped into, and I had the best time because I met someone that was a social member. So they don't play lawn bowls, but they go down there for she lost her job, compliments of COVID, and she thought, what am I going to do? And she joined as a social member of the local lawn bowls club and has met new people, has just made new friends. She does scrounges now and then. She does barefoot bowls now and then. I think that's a great philosophy for those people that are just doing it a bit tough. Let's try and regroup. And keep the balance as best we possibly can. And, you know, look after your health, which I think is very important.
Very, very important, Todd. Thanks, mate. Looking forward to it. The night shift coming up through till midnight after 8 o'clock. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Todd.
Todd Johnston in the studio tonight after 8 o'clock into the second week of his new show.
I could do you with a social membership, mate. Lawn bowls, barefoot bowls.
Not have to go down and play anything. Just sit at the bar and have a lemonade or two.
And watch the cricket.
Sounds pretty good. Why not? 92211 882 is the phone number. We're looking for your slaps and sledges. You got any more slaps and sledges for me, Jacko? 92211 882. Sullivan Logistics, your trusted storage and overnight freight experts. Sullivan Logistics, they are in it for the long haul.
I got a slap for Josh Inglis for his wicket-keeping efforts the other night against the Thunder. Now, you just got to run with it and say I meant that, but it was quite... dramatic at a dramatic time where the Thunder were coming back, and it was a bit of a mix up, but I thought good presence of mind. He thought, oh, well, I'll just go for the stumps, and he meant it. He's just going to save for the rest of of course he didn't.
The throw came in from Berendorf, I think it was.
Shocking throw.
He did well to scamper across flick it back, yeah. But Inglis, I don't think, realised how much time he had. He could have just picked it up and almost dived back stumps, Jonty Rhodes style, and knocked it over. But he did well. He even had a little bit of spin on the ball.
To
hit the wickets.
He flicked it. So, it was very good, very good.
So definitely a slap there for Josh Inglis. I guess it's a sledge then for Alex Ross, who got a diamond duck. And you don't see too many of those in cricket. We're going to have a chat to Jai Richardson shortly on the program as well. So look forward to asking him about that. A slap for me, of course, goes to the Perth Scorchers. I mean, the way they've turned their season around has been quite incredible. They've got one last game here at Optus Stadium, and we're not quite sure... exactly where they're going to be playing after that. The Big Bash announcing a host of changes to their fixturing tonight, but haven't quite said where the Scorchers' next game is going to be after that. Sledge, of course, to Jonathan Patton, stood down by Hawthorn today. The other news coming through, pending the investigation into some of the things that were being sent around on social media. Well, welcome back to Sports Day. Anna Papalia and Glenn Jakovic are with you this evening. And Jacko, the Perth Scorchers, how good have they been going after the last four games? Four wins in a row. They beat the top of the table Sydney Thunder the other night. You were at the cricket and enjoyed your night?
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. And Sydney, they certainly they come to play. There was no doubting that. And this man that we're going to speak to shortly, well, he's been, they call him the golden arm at the minute. He's in a good form at the minute.
He certainly is the leading wicket taker in the tournament. We're going to talk to the leading run scorer in the tournament as well a little bit later on in Ben McDermott too, who'll be with the Hobart Hurricanes when they're in action tomorrow night against the Perth Scorchers. We're talking, of course, of Jai Richardson, who joins us on the line now. Jai, thanks so much for your time.
Well, good. Thanks for having me.
Great to have a chat to you. Yourself, personally, we'll talk about that in a moment, but the team, you guys are in ripping form after a slow start.
Yeah, that's the thing. With four wins on the road now, we always spoke early in the tournament about how winning can be a habit, but on the other side of that, losing can be too. So it's fantastic to see the boys turn things around and get some momentum, which is really important in this type of competition to get a bit of momentum moving forward. And we've shown that we can do that at Optus Stadium, which has been fantastic.
Jai, thanks for joining us on the program here. Khawaja went after you pretty early, and I guess as a top-order bowler yourself with Berendorf, what do you have to readjust when Khawaja was starting to hit him all around the park?
Oh, look, I think the first power play with the new ball, you know, if the ball was not swinging, which it swung for the first couple of balls, it becomes quite difficult with only the two fielders out, especially when a batsman's coming hard at you like that. But the thing about Perth Stadium is you know, when you chase wickets early, you know, it can sort of either go one way or the other. It can really come off or it can go the other way. So credit to Uzi for coming out and taking it to us. But it's about, you know, trusting the process, trusting the wicket, and sort of making sure that you're the last team to panic. That's another thing that we always speak about within the Scorchers, is if we're the last team to sort of panic and give in under the pressure, then we'll be the ones to win. So luckily enough, we held our nerve, held our catches, and we got him out relatively early enough.
Sam Billings, he came through the middle of the order, and he certainly you know, put you guys under a fair bit of pressure. I mean, he's 83 or 48. He kept them in the game, the Thunder.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, credit to him as well. He batted fantastic. You know, that little partnership that they had through the middle with him and Cutsy, you know, definitely probably got us thinking about a few more things out in the middle there. They certainly put the pressure on us. I think, you know, a few things that we probably could have changed to him. We potentially could have bowled a few more slow balls and mixed our pace a little bit. But I think overall, from a team perspective, our plans were relatively simple, to bowl wide to him and try and get him to hit to the longer side. And I think we actually executed pretty well, but there's always room for improvement. But yeah, credit to him, he batted really, really well.
Jai, you've won the last four. Prior to that, you're under siege. Your coach was under siege, and there was some commentary in the press about his position. I guess from a player group, what did you guys do internally to turn the form around so rapidly?
Oh, look, I think, you know, it's just trust in our players. It's one of our values in having, you know, trusting each other, trusting each other's preparation. We couldn't fault the way that we went into the tournament and the way that we've been preparing for each game. You know, we have bowlers meetings and batters meetings and all of those things. And I think it got to a point where we needed to have a few honest conversations within the group and say, you know what, we are not playing good enough for this competition. We are so much better than this. I think it just got everyone fired up and hungrier to turn things around. And I think a big contributor to turning things around as well has been our home crowd. There would have been a lot of people early doors that would have written us off, but for everyone to come out to Perth Stadium like they have and cheer us on and get the numbers that we have as well has really helped us as a team. And it helps knowing that Perth as a whole can still back us in like that.
It's amazing when you do get on a winning run how things start to go your way. How many times have the guys watched the replay of the Alex Ross run out? And as Josh Inglis talked through what actually happened there, it was one of the more bizarre things I've ever seen.
Yeah, we had a review meeting this morning, and our analyst normally puts together a little package of all of the highlights of the game, and that one certainly made it in there. And then whenever it came up, the whole room burst out laughing. And it's quite funny, but, you know, Josh has been going around saying it was intentional because our warm-up game that we play in training is like a little handball tennis game, and that's where he got it from. He just spun one back onto the middle stump, so he's claiming it, but we'll see about that.
Jai, the BBL is all about entertainment, and Optus Stadium certainly doesn't disappoint. Another 27,000 strong crowd. Midway through the Thunder's innings, did you notice the paper planes coming from the crowd?
Yeah, I did actually. There were a few. I was standing down at fine leg, and you can hear the crowd sort of getting up as one flies down. I'm surprised no one in the crowd got their eye poked out, to be honest, but there were certainly a few down near me. A few that were actually sticking into the ground, which I thought was pretty impressive, but no, it's all in good fun.
It certainly is a great atmosphere. You've got one last game at Optus Stadium tomorrow against the Hurricanes. As you said, you love playing there, and it's been working for you too, so you want to secure the win before you do head off. What challenges do Hobart possess? Obviously, Ben McDermott at the top of the order, along with Darcy Short.
Yeah, look, I think one thing that we, you know, potentially need to be worried about is Darcy. Always, you know, he probably hasn't had the tournament he would have liked to date, but that's the dangerous thing. You know, it only takes one innings to turn it around for him, and hopefully that's not tomorrow night. But we'll definitely have our plans against all of their batsmen. We seem to have utilised the ground dimensions pretty well so far, so we'll continue to use that, and hopefully we get another fast and bouncy wicket.
You are the leading wicket taker in the competition. I know it can change from game to game, but have you got the yellow cap ready to go?
Yeah, it's ready to go. Personal performance is always great, but, you know, on a bigger scale, I'm really happy for the team to be doing well now. I think that's the most important thing.
A bit of an injury concern around Colin Munro. Is he going to be okay to play?
Well, look, I think all of those conversations are out of my hands, so I haven't really been kept in the loop too much, so we'll have to see what the medical staff come up with.
I didn't think I was going to get anything out of you, but we'll wait to see tomorrow night whether he does play. But he's been in great form, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he seems to get going when the spinners come on. I know that he likes to, you know, take him over the mid-wicket boundary, which has been awesome to see. You know, that's a 80-metre boundary, and he's been clearing them halfway up to the second tier. So he hits a long ball, and he's a great guy to have around the group as well. He's actually been very good for the group with his positivity and knowing that he can back it up out in the middle as well. Super excited for him to be a part of this group, and very thankful that he's made the runs that he has.
Well, great to have a chat to you. Thanks so much for your time. We wish you all the best tomorrow against the Hurricanes, and then pushing on from there, wherever you guys end up playing the rest of your fixtures. Thanks so much for your time.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks, Jai.
Jai Richardson there, Jacko from the Perth Scorchers. We will talk to the Hurricanes in just a moment with Ben McDermott, their opener, who's the leading run scorer in the tournament. So it's going to be a good battle between those two when things get underway. But Jai Richardson's been in such good form. There's a little bit being talked about that if one of our fast bowlers in the test arena were to fall over a back-to-back test, you never know how sore they might be, that Jai could be the type of person that gets a call-up.
Well, he's front and centre to the Australian selectors, and his form's been pretty consistent over the last 12 months. So he has been in this conversation before, and let's hope if an opportunity, a window opens there, I think he's suited for it.
He's just had injuries in fits and starts on his way through, Jai Richardson. But when he does play some consistent cricket, he takes wickets both in the Shield and also in the Big Bash, as we've seen. We hope that he takes some early wickets tomorrow night as well when he faces off against the Hobart Hurricanes. Our next guest, though, is going to try to have something to say about that. The big hitter from the Hurricanes in Ben McDermott will join us next. You are listening to Sports Day. I've got another bushfire emergency warning for you. A bushfire emergency warning is in place for eastern parts of Baldivis in the city of Rockingham. It applies to people in the vicinity of Carnup Road, Young Road and Kwinana Freeway southbound. You are in danger and need to act immediately to survive. There is a threat to lives and homes. If the way is clear, leave now for a safer place. Do not wait and see, because leaving at the last minute is deadly. If you're not at home, it's too dangerous to return. You need to shelter in your home in a room away from the fire front and make sure you can easily escape, such as a laundry or kitchen. Close all doors and windows and turn off evaporative air conditioners, but keep water running through the system if possible. If your home catches on fire and the conditions inside become unbearable, you need to get out and go to an area that has already been burnt. The bushfire is moving fast in a northeasterly direction. Burning embers are likely to be blown around your home. Kwinana Freeway southbound between Safety Bay Road and Carnup Road is closed, as well as Young Road between Serpentine Road and Carnup Road. The cause of the fire is accidental. Just repeating, a bushfire emergency warning is in place for eastern parts of Baldivis in the city of Rockingham. It applies to people in the vicinity of Carnup Road, Young Road and Kwinana Freeway southbound. For more information, visit the Emergency WA website. This is Welcome back to Sports Day. Adam Papalia and Glenn Jakovich with you this evening through until 8 o'clock. And, of course, the Big Bash is in full swing. And hasn't it been great to have a couple of extra teams over here in the West and a chance for people to go and see even more live cricket with the Thunder and the Hurricanes, of course, have been in town. And they played the fixture the other day that didn't feature the Scorchers. Still got a good crowd in to check that one out. And the Hurricanes are in action against the Scorchers tomorrow night, and very pleased to say that one of their openers in Ben McDermott joins me on the line now. G'day, Ben.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Great to have a chat to you. Did it feel a little bit different, I guess, not playing against the Scorchers, but playing against the Thunder here at Optus Stadium?
Yeah, it was. It was a little bit of an echo around Optus Stadium the other night or the other afternoon. It was a very different feeling going out there and not having that that crowd behind the Scorchers, but I'm sure it'll be completely different tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think you'll get a much different reception tomorrow night with the fans getting right behind the home team. Before we get on to that, though, the thoughts on the performance the other night. It was a 39-run win to the Thunder, but it was tough going in the run chase.
Yeah, it was, mate. We lost 6 for 37 or something in the chase, so it's pretty clear that we lost it there. I think we just kept losing wickets, and we couldn't sort of string a partnership together. And me and Darcy both got set and both got out in concession, and same as Darwood and Colin, which are pretty keen at run chases. So pretty clear where we lost it there, but that's good. We know where we're learning from it, so we know exactly what happened, and we can sort of rectify that tomorrow night, hopefully.
As an opener, do you prefer to chase, or do you prefer to set a target first?
I'm not really sure yet, to be honest. I've only I think probably suggest the flavour of the Big Bash is to chase, especially at these grounds like Optus, where it sort of can, obviously the pace of the wicket and everything like that, it's nice to bat on, so it doesn't change too much. So I prefer to chase, but we've got a really good bowling attack as well, which seem like they can defend anything sometimes, so it doesn't really faze me, mate, to be honest.
Do you enjoy opening, though?
I do, yeah. I originally batted 3 for the majority of it, but it's nice just to be up top and facing as many balls as you possibly can. So it gives yourself the best chance to score runs, which is nice. Last year I sort of dipped into batting in the middle order a little bit, as that was my role for Australia, but obviously got dropped there, and really keen to get back to the top of the order. Last year you have a good game at 5, you can get 30 off 15 at the end, and have a good game at the top of the order, you can sort of make 100 potentially. So hopefully I can do that.
Yeah, that's what I was intrigued to know, because you have sort of bounced around positions a little bit. And now as an opener, I mean, even against the Stars the other night, you can get yourself set. As you said, you can really go after it. And the 91 was sparkling the other night.
Yeah, thank you, mate. That's it. I think traditionally I like to take myself, I'll give myself a little bit of time and try and back myself to catch up at the end. The other night sort of got away to a flyer, and that was nice. I sort of I think I was 20-something off 12 balls or something like that. So that was nice to get off to a bit of a flyer, but that's not going to always happen for me. I think when I'm playing well, I give myself a little bit of time, and a few extra balls just to make sure I've got the pace of the wicket, and I just try and back myself to catch it up at the end.
Ben, how have you assessed the Hurricanes' performance so far this year? 5 wins and 4 losses?
Yeah, I think we've been challenged with a couple of injuries. I mean, we had Riley out the other night, which wasn't ideal. We had Nick Winter come in for his first game, which is nice to see him get a crack. And obviously, James Faulkner's out as well, which is two key players, you know. So, and also we're missing Matthew Wade, who comes back towards the end, maybe just for finals. So hopefully we can get there and he can come back in, slot back into my role, and also probably move down the order again. So, yeah, I've been floating around the order a bit, but, yeah, obviously that's because Wadey's not here. But, yeah, I think we're going okay. Hopefully we can get Jimmy back fit and Riley back fit, and we should be a pretty strong side again.
What have you made of the Scorchers? I mean, they had such a slow start, as they tend to do in these tournaments, but they've hit top form over the last 4 matches, winning 4 in a row.
Yeah, well, there's no surprise to me that they started winning games. It was bound to happen. They're a great side. So, yeah, I think they're a top contender, and no, I was certainly not taking them lightly tomorrow night. They're in some red-hot form, and like I said, they're a really good side.
Ben, how much intel do you get from Darcy Short and Tim David, knowing that they're former West Australians?
Yeah, we just had a little bit of a batters meeting, but most of the guys sort of know what... most of our guys played enough sort of cricket to know what we need to get out of those sort of meetings and what we need to do on the day. It's almost like you need to do what you need to do, not worry about what they're doing, almost. So, yeah, not too much, mate, to be honest, but it is nice to know a few of the ins and outs of their team. But yeah, not too much.
Their bowling lineup, in particular, has been really good, restricting some teams to, or taking early wickets, I guess. So with that knowledge and the fact they've been in form, how do you go about trying to combat them through those early overs?
Just watch a bit of footage, and just like I said, worry about what your game is, not too much on what they're trying to do. I think Jai Richardson and Berendorf have bowled a lot in the power play, and they've been really, obviously they're really nice bowlers. So yeah, just watch a bit of footage and try and see what we can pick up out of that, and see what we can target and what may be a couple of weaknesses. The batters will sort of go through that in their own time and go through that themselves.
Have you enjoyed your time in Perth? What else have you been up to?
I played a little bit of golf this morning at Royal Perth, which was nice of them to have us there as guests. So that was a beautiful course. But a bit of golf here and there. Bit of pool. It's been warm, mate, to be honest. So it'd be nice to get in the water. Not too much. Obviously, we're pretty locked up most of the time, but it's been nice to get out here and there.
Everyone's been melting, I think, a little bit over the last, the last month, really. It's been super hot over here, so you've got a little bit of a taste of it. As a golfer, how are you? Most batsmen fancy themselves as at striking it pretty well off the tee.
Yeah, I've been called a bit of a bandit by fellow golfer, Will Jacks. I think I started at 15, at a 15 handicap, and moved my way down to 12 and now 8, and I think he's trying to drop me again because I've shot 5 over the last couple of rounds. So he's called me a bandit, so I'll probably come down again with my handicap.
Very nice. Ben, it's been great to have a chat to you, mate. Thanks so much for your time. We wish you a little bit of luck tomorrow. Not too much luck against the Scorchers, but really appreciate your time on Sports Day.
No worries. Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Ben McDermott there from the Hobart Hurricanes, and it is going to be a big clash at Optus Stadium tomorrow night. We'll keep you right up to date with it on the program here with regular score updates. This is Sports. Well, welcome back to Sports Day. Adam Papalia, Glenn Jakovich with you this evening, and we are here through until 8 o'clock, and then, of course, Todd Johnston will be in the chair for the night shift tonight through until midnight. But, Jacko, let's get into our news headlines thanks to Car Sales. Number one for cars, and the news through today, confirmation of a new captain at the Perth Wildcats, and I think it'll be a pretty popular choice among the fans as well. It was a player vote while they're away on their pre-season trip, and Jesse Wagstaff announced today as the new captain of the Wildcats, and he joins us on the line now. Jesse, thanks so much for your time, and congratulations.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah, my phone's been running hot all day. But yeah, thank you.
What does it mean to you to be the captain of the Perth Wildcats?
Yeah, look, I've been asked that a few times, and, you know, to be honest, you know, I've been in the club, this is my 12th season, I think. Kind of lose count over the years, but, you know, starting out, you never dream that one day you'll captain the club, so it's a huge honour. Obviously, some big names have gone before me, and I'll just hope to try to live up in some way to what they've done.
Big shoes to fill with Damian Martin being there for so long, and you know him so well. How is your captaincy style and leadership style going to be different to his?
Damo who? No, look.
You're funnier than him already.
Yeah. No, look, Damo's a champion bloke and a champion leader. And if I can do half of what he did, it'll be huge. But, you know, big shoes to fill, as you said. You know, he's been the leader of the club for the last, I want to say 7 years, but he's obviously at the club longer than that as well. So he's done a tremendous job and, you know, supremely charismatic and great leader and led by example. So if I can just lead by example, perhaps probably not as charismatic as Damo. I don't have the smile that he does, you know, but lead by example and hopefully show the younger fellas the way.
Jesse, Glenn Jakovic, welcome to the program and congratulations on the captaincy. Motivation of the group going forward. You've been on top of the mountain for a fair period of time and a lot of success, which you've been a part of. Going forward without the inspirational skipper now with Damian Martin's retirement, the motivation of the group?
Yeah, look, it's pretty high and, you know, it is a new group as well. So, you know, people talk about three-peats and going back-to-back, but it kind of means a little to this group. We've got a lot of the guys new, and so you say something like that, and it means absolutely nothing. So everyone's pretty hungry. We've been practicing for a while now, kind of 6 months. So I think we're just, you know, champing at the bit just to get playing.
Tell us about, obviously, the protocols that you have to abide by with COVID and COVID safe and getting ready. But for a professional athlete, it's vastly more than just the average Joe Blow, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we've been under them for a while. You know, temperature checks and, you know, stuff like that, daily wellnesses and things like that. But, you know, we're in quarantine right now, so it's home quarantine, as, you know, many people of the state have done. Hopefully we'll get an exemption for practice in the upcoming days so we can get back on the court. But until then, it's just stay at home and stay safe, really. You know, the test on arrival and then day 11 test. So it's pretty stock standard right now. But when that exemption hopefully comes through, we'll be under the same restrictions at practice and things like that.
And can you take us back to last Friday and Saturday and what it was like for the playing group? Obviously, once the news came through and the borders went up so quickly, you just didn't have a chance to get home.
Yeah, it was phenomenal timing. I don't think they'd had a case for 130 days or something, and then we go there and a case pops up in the city where we're staying. So it's phenomenal timing. But, you know, that's what's going to happen, and I think we've got to expect that throughout the season, that these things will happen, whether away or at home. It's just part of life and part of life without basketball. You know, everyone's kind of used to it now. And so, yeah, it was an interesting time. We arrived at the game on Friday expecting to play and already checked out of the hotel, and suddenly the game was cancelled and we're heading back to the hotel not knowing what's going on. So a similar thing happened when Illawarra came over. So, I guess it's a good dress rehearsal for season, you know, if it happens during season.
Yeah, it was the way the season finished last year as well, and it's the way it started, and we hope that we can get past it. But in the meantime, as you said, you're doing home quarantine. How does that work logistically? I mean, you've got a young family, obviously, and you have to be in a separate part of the house. Is that right?
Yeah, so I've got three young kids and obviously a wife, and it's certainly interesting. You need separate bedroom and bathroom. So I've actually kicked the missus out of the master and got the ensuite in the master bedroom. She wasn't happy about that. She's in the spare bedroom. We've got a backyard as well, so we're blessed with that. And we can go outside and kind of socially distance and wear a mask. And I can at least still see the kids and obviously no touching. But, you know, that's part and parcel of things like this.
So you were still able to celebrate from a distance a couple of birthdays?
I've got the little one's one tomorrow, so I'll be singing happy birthday, you know, 10 metres away. But, you know, I guess it's good to be home and share that. You know, I think there's, you know, we're quite fortunate. I've said it a number of times, we're quite fortunate to be in this state. And, you know, if staying at home for 2 weeks with your family is the worst thing that happens, then I think we'll be all right.
Jesse, like all sporting clubs, you lose great players through retirement. And we mentioned Damian Martin. You can't replace them, but you've got to find players who can fill the void and take up the next challenges. Is there a particular player or players that you feel that we should look out for in season 2021?
Look, I think that's huge, what you just said. You never replace a guy like Damo or anyone for that matter. You just kind of go on without him and someone else kind of takes up the reins. So, you know, I'd expect Mitch Norton to have a big season. You know, he's put some good work into his body in the off-season, as most guys have, given that we've spent a lot of time in the gym. I think he's ready to take the next step. I think he showed glimpses of it towards the end of last season when Damo was kind of under an injury cloud. You know, so he's been great and expect him to have probably a bigger voice as well.
I've been led to believe by some of your teammates with the home isolation, you've isolated yourself away from the laundry and the kitchen.
Well, I'm usually the cook, so... the missus is taking a bit more responsibility that way, but you know, I still can cook. You can kind of still do the housework, and seeing how I can't pick up the kids or change any nappies, I'll have to pick up my game there.
Well, yeah, that might come back to get you later on. I think you'll be doing double time with those duties. Jesse, do you have any insight for us on when your first game might be or who your opponents might be?
No, look, unfortunately, you know, those decisions are kind of well above my pay grade. You know, they're kind of out of our control, and they depend on the NBL, and not only the NBL, but the state and national government. You know, it's an interesting time, I would imagine, to be a sports administrator, and I'm not envious of their position. So hopefully we can get some home games, hopefully we get some games. But, you know, it's an interesting time.
And hopefully you can get that exemption as well to get out there and train at least, because it has been a long time. You must be absolutely raring to just get out there and start playing.
Yeah, I'm sick of seeing the guys. It's you know, you talk about practice, and you know, it's a pretty nice job to have, is to do something you love. But you know, you train to play, and you want to play, and you want to get out there on the court and compete against other teams. But you know, training day in and day out against the same blokes definitely wears on you. But it just boosts the motivation when the time does finally come.
Well, Jesse Wagstaff, thanks so much for your time on Sports Day this evening. Good luck with the birthday celebrations tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll chat again soon. Cheers.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Jesse.
Jesse Wagstaff there, the Perth Wildcats captain. Thanks to Car Sales of Car Sales. Every 30 seconds on Car Sales. This is Sports. Well, thanks for your company on Sports Day this evening. Jacko and I will be back tomorrow night, of course, after 8 o'clock. Todd Johnston will be in the chair. Before we get there, Jacko, I want your BBL Player of the Week. Have a crack out back with Explorex Caravans, explorex.com.au.
Oh, perhaps it'd have to be our very own Scorchers, Colin Munro, on the back of his good form with a bat, 52, 50 and 50 the other night. Obviously got a few injury concerns. Let's hope he gets up and plays tomorrow night. But, he's my BBL Player of the Week.
It'll be really important for the Scorchers that he is out there, given the form he is in. BBL Player of the Week, thanks to Explorex Caravans. Hit your next outdoor adventure for a six in an Explorex Caravan. Explorex.com.au. Thanks for your company, Jacko.
Thanks, Paps. Look forward to it again tomorrow night.
Yep, tomorrow night we will be back from 6 o'clock with Sports Day. But don't move your radio dial. We've got the news coming up. And then Todd Johnston will be taking you through to midnight with the night shift.